Même.
Même. Même. Hi everyone, welcome back to The Next Stage. This week we're joined by Bottled Antics, the theatre group that came about because a group of 12 people decided to go for Theatre Royal Plymouth's lab programme. So in this episode, we'll talk a bit about Bottled Antics, how they came about, and how throwing 12 strangers in a room can result in a pretty cool show, and show dates and what to do and when to go. We're joined by Caitlin, Joe and Macy. Let's have a listen. Hi everyone, welcome back to The Next Stage. This week we're here with Bottled Antics. So can you guys kind of like, first of all, introduce yourselves to everyone listening?
So I am called Joe, I'm an actor for Bottled Antics. I am 20 years old and I'm from Plymouth.
My name's Maisie, I'm a kind of theatre maker slash performer from Plymouth, and I'm working as the technician and designer for Bottled Antics.
Hello, I am Caitlin, and I'm one of the co-writers on this show, and I do some performing bits as well.
Can you guys tell us a bit about like each of your personal background and how you found out about Theatre Royal Plymouth's lab co-programme?
So I did a degree with Plymouth University, with their conservatoire. With theatre and performance, and that was working both on performing, writing, all the stuff behind like dramaturgy and like the technical side of stuff. I really wanted to continue on with like the backstage kind of stuff as well as like being on stage. My mum's friend sent me the link. It was just like, hey, this looks cool, you should do that. And I was like, okay. And I applied, genuinely not thinking that I would even get past the first stage, but yeah, I somehow managed to trick my way in.
How sweet, that's so cute. It's kind of like the universe pushed you towards it without you even knowing.
I think I was in quite a similar boat, really. Like, I got shipped off to acting classes when I was like really young by my parents, and it's just sort of like what I've kept up since. I spent a year away last year doing like acting stuff at a performing school, drama school, but I came back and I decided to sit around in Plymouth for the year and sort of, I think I just needed a year, especially after all the obvious events that have occurred over the last few. I think I just wanted a year to relax, well, not really relax because it's been pretty busy in the end, but you know, chill in Plymouth, put it that way. So I ended up trying to keep something drama-y up, so I applied for this, and yeah, I didn't think anything more, and it all worked out, so you know.
For me, I've already been like working at the theatre. I was aware of the lab company. I used to work in like, well, I still do, front of house roles, and I was aware of it, and like what I saw first was the doors seemed like really cool. The doors come for like poster jinx and things, and I'll be like, who are these people, what do they do? And then, yeah, I just sort of plucked up the courage to apply, like obviously being an artist myself as well as working. And yeah, it's been awesome.
The programme, Labco, so, you know, as we mentioned, it's by Theatre Royal Plymouth, and it is a year long. So could you describe to us what the process is of doing it? So is there like a schedule as to how the lab works? So is it a case of, okay, we have X amount of months doing this, we have X amount of months doing that, or is it kind of flexible to the company members in the moment? I will direct this to Caitlin first.
Yeah, the schedule is like every Thursday and Friday, and I think we spend 10, it's like 10 till 4 on a Friday. I was going to do quick maths, but then it was going to be slow maths. very slow maths. 10 till 4, and then 10 till 1 on a Thursday. So we've been doing that since September. And yeah, like it's so cool because we got put together like sort of pretty much as like strangers almost. But then, you come together and then you just become so close as well, and like through the process. And yeah, so that's been really cool. I think that is everything.
It feels like whenever you're in a theatre group, there's always this kind of theatre magic which can transform strangers into people who end up being really, really close. And that's kind of what's happened with you guys. You've ended up forming Bottled Antics. How did you guys come up with the name?
So, like, we, as a group, we're all very, very silly. And just the stuff we come out with is absolutely insane. I think one of our shows was a musical about cows, and it was called The Musical. It was so bad.
No, that's really good.
That's amazing.
The footage going around like TRP, they were like, they came in to film us for a day, and it was one of us was pretending to be a cow, and literally arms and legs straight out, like they're a cow sat on a chair, and that's just going around TRP, like, yeah, join lab companies. So we really wanted to kind of bring out how silly we were and how all the fun we could bring to each of the venues that we're going to go to, hopefully, in the future. And yeah, so we just bottled up all our little antics, and yeah, that's what we're marketing to everyone.
That's so sweet. That now that you kind of like told this musical story, it makes a lot of sense, the whole bottled antics. It's kind of like you've all grabbed your essence and put it in a little bottle.
Like, something I'm personally quite fascinated about is the kind of psychology behind the company getting together in the space, because you know you've said it's almost potluck with who you end up with, and you're with them for a year in this case. And you know, I found that with new companies especially, when you don't know each other, you can find difficulty in gelling. Like, you need to like with theatre, you do need to be able to trust each other in what you do, and arguably do it quite quickly. So, it varies between company, but you know, gelling can take time. It can take very quick. It's a intrinsic process. So, I want to hear from each of you. What has the process been like forming the company? How much time did you kind of spend like getting to know each other, or did you just go, right, we're making a piece of work? I will direct this to Joe first.
So it was weird. I remember when we first like started, and like everyone just sort of sat in this circle about 2 meters away from it. Like everyone was so distant and apart, and like we just sat there like church mice. It was quite funny. And that was, I think that's always the case when like people just get shoved together. And it was like, yeah, as you said, it was pot luck on who you're going to get. But I think the fact that everyone has similar interests, as in they all enjoy theatre making, the fact that everyone is like at a similar point. So like we're all sort of looking to make a career in some form from the arts, sort of really bound us together from the start. I think we also got thrown right in at the deep end, because like the first week or so we sort of had the sessions to get to know each other. So we were allowed to we just went out and we got to know each other through activities outside of the theatre space. And then we just started making weird, weird stuff. And I think the way in which we work made it easier to get to know people, because you have to trust them. You have to launch yourself in with what we do, because it's just it's something else. And yeah,
well you're perfectly right in saying that, though. It's a bit like for lack of better wording, let's call it like the doctor's waiting room scenario, where when you first meet people, you just kind of sat quite closed off to yourself. You don't want to speak to anyone unless you got to. And then imagine if it was like day one. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I've never met you before. I've known you for 10 minutes. We're making The Musical. Like, would you have been able to do that on day one? Like, that's the sort of thing. Like, how was that build up from I don't want to speak to nobody to Musical? a thing, would you say, aside from the outside? Did you do anything in the rehearsal space?
It was nothing that I hadn't seen before. I think it's just that everyone is so keen to like just make stuff, and the raw content of what we were making right from the start, I think, led us down this route, which is like, because we were like every single session we were making pieces, and then we'd stop, and then we'd make something else, and then we'd like watch back, and then we'd make something else. And once you get to a certain point, there's only so many things which like come straight off the top of the brain. Then it goes into like weird levels, and I think that's just sort of how it worked. And I think that really was a helping hand into sort of making the company bond as such. I think they sort of coincided.
And was this like a so like, for example, Maisie, you said you focus more on the tech aspect of the production. Was this something that, like, were you okay, I'm tech from day one, or was this something that everybody kind of had to get involved with regardless?
I was like fully performery, doing weird stuff with everyone else from the get-go. It's more because we started off in Theatre Royal's TR2 space,
okay,
kind of working in their rehearsal spaces, and then as we got closer and closer towards the performance, I started playing around with the technical side, so like lighting, sound and stuff, and I was really enjoying that and feeling I could do something a bit like kind of to elevate the show rather than be a performer, which I don't, a lot of people say I'm strong at. I sound like a humble brag. I prefer being behind the scenes, and I think I like taking it that extra mile of doing something more with like lighting and sound and stuff. But yeah, I was fully on board for all the games and stuff. Like, I personally love MUOFFs. Joe is very much against them, but
I'm sorry. I have to explain this. What the hell is a MUOFF?
So this is very fun. So you play a game, so like say Zap or whatever, like something. And if there's two people at the end, instead of just continuing on with that game, they do a MUOFF, in which they have to sit, like, kind of go on all fours next to each other and moo, and whoever laughs first loses. And the stuff that comes out of it is just, it's just gold, absolute gold. And once you've mooed in someone's face, you're friends for life. That's just how it works.
I think that's the quote of the entire episode.
Yeah, that's the, you've come up with our title here, thank you. No, I get what you mean though. Like, it's sort of a, like, it's a forced way to break the ice, but not in a way where it feels like a bad kind of forced, because you've got to get over the hurdle at some point. Caitlin, what would you say was the like experience like for you of developing as the company?
Think about what Maisie said there. I was just gonna say it was very moving.
Love a pun on this. You can come back.
I do love puns. But yeah, it's definitely super interesting, like, because for me, I was like never really sort of a theatre person as much. I never grew up with theatre. I never was in the spaces, but in the pandemic, I mean, I was working, like when I started working for the Theatre Royal, that was after I'd done my English and creative writing degree, and I worked in catering, but it's just contagious. You just end up sort of being like, just swept up in it all, and just getting really passionate and enjoying it. And for me, because like, I'm really passionate about stories and writing, and then coming into a space where, like, obviously you've got people with, like, different talents and disciplines and, like, ever so talented, to sort of, like, mash everyone all up together. But then we've all just sort of, like, got along really well and, like, just managed to create this, like, beautiful bond and connection as a group. And I think that's where, you know, when Maisie was saying about, like, the silliness and things, like, that's definitely part of our, like, ethos, is to be like really playful, and we've definitely carried that throughout the whole process.
So Caitlin, you said you're more of a writer. Macy, you said you've kind of taken on more of the technical side of things. But when it comes to kind of joining the group, you join as a performer. So I'm not sure I'm phrasing this correctly, but like, how did that shift happen? Like, are you still performers and then you do the technical and you do the writing, or you've kind of completely moved away from performing and now you're solely, like, you're solely the light designer and you're solely the writer, or are you just kind of doing a bit of everything?
So when we had like the first ideas for the show, we kind of all thought about what roles we wanted to take on, and we all made a list of all the stuff that we wanted to kind of do throughout the show's like conception. Like, and a lot of us, I think a lot of us put like, say I put technician / performer. So I was like, I was happy to do like lighting design, sound design, and then would be on stage. But as it went on, I just felt I was more comfortable just being tech. And I really wanted us to kind of differ from maybe other companies, because a lot of companies are solely performer, writer, director, and then they come in and they give the technician stuff. I wanted us to have kind of that edge, and that one of us is the technician, is the one designing it, is the one that's with the show from start to finish. But yeah, that's how I came across it. I'm not sure how Caitlin did. Caitlin, how did you decide?
I don't know, like, it wasn't really a decide. It was a, like, writing's just always been a thing that spoke to me. And writing's always been, like, the default place I always go to. I do performing outside of, like, the theatre, where I do, like, my own music and bits and bobs, but especially sort of in the theatre space, I knew that to sort of exercise my writing brain would be a super helpful experience to see something come to life. And it is really magical when, like, you write things down and then it sort of goes through this process and, like, yeah, it just gets brought, like, breathed life into words and the situations and the characters, and it's just been such a wonderful experience for that.
Okay, that makes sense. So both of you did start kind of playing with the company, and then you, for lack of a better word, branched off after, kind of.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. I like that. That makes a lot of sense, actually. I get what you mean with the having like a writer and the technician who's with you throughout the whole process. Because obviously when you get someone, like, for Tech Week, like, before we started recording, you said that you're going into Tech Week tomorrow. And I can imagine the difference that the show will have, kind of having you there from the beginning or just bringing in a technician tomorrow. So I understand that completely. I think it's a really cool thing that you guys are doing in kind of marrying the creation of the piece and the backstage of the piece. Because traditionally we kind of tend to see backstage as, like, an afterthought, you know? It's kind of like, I give these points to the sound designer, these points to the set, and then it will come like a week before and mesh it all together and kind of like figure it out. But you guys have found a way to make the technician's role very much more involved.
No, I do get what you mean though. Like, there's kind of like an unwritten timeline where you have writing done, pre-rehearsals maybe 1 or 2 weeks into it, and then that's it. And like, whereas you'll find out very quickly that you're like, oh no, actually we can't do that, because when you write something down in theory, doing it in space in practice can be a whole different ball game. It's the same with tech, you know. You can be like, okay, we're gonna have red lights here, we're gonna have blue lights here, and then you'll see and it's like, but it looks colder in places where it needs to be warmer. It's that sort of, it's being able to kind of work through the piece. Please correct me if I'm wrong. It's working through the piece from day one till day done and kind of adapting constantly to the needs of the different job roles that you each suit. So listen, we are going to have to break in a little bit. I just have one more question before we do. I'd like to hear from each of you individually. What would you say is the most important and practical aspects you've acquired from being part of this program. So by this, I mean, like, what would you say is something that is genuinely super useful that you have found from doing the process? It could be something really simple, like make notes as you go along. Could be something like that. What would you think is a really good piece of advice you would give yourselves a year ago as you finish off this program, if you were to head into it fresh? I will start with you, Maisie.
So I think the best part of advice I would have for myself a year ago would be to just kind of just let go, because I'm it's surprising to most people for some reason, but I'm quite a shy person. I find it really hard to get going with like people and like things unless everyone else is throwing themselves into it. So my advice to myself would be to just throw myself into it, because everyone else is feeling the exact same, and if everyone just throws themselves into it, then everyone will just be comfortable immediately. And yeah, and also every conversation is a chance to network. Be very nice to everyone. Seem very interested. I am very interested. Just seem very interested. I am very, very interested. But yeah, every interaction is a chance to network and get someone within the industry to be on your side, basically.
And that's the whole truth, ladies and gentlemen. Joe, what say you?
I think mine might be quite similar to Maisie's in the fact of throwing yourself in the deep end. But for me, it was throwing yourself in the deep end earlier, because I came in very much as I'd only sort of, I've been acting and that's it. Like that was what I've been doing up until I joined a company. And I was stuck to that for a lot of like the first term and like the first portion of the company where we were just creating stuff. And it was only because obviously we direct and we write and all this stuff. And I realized how much I enjoyed other aspects when I actually got involved, but it took me so long to actually get involved and like sort of want to put myself forward for those, mainly because I just felt like it was so out of the ordinary for me that I wouldn't know what to do. So I'd just be lost. But yeah, I think it's definitely just get in earlier and try stuff out. I think trying stuff out earlier is really important.
100%. It's all about kind of having those preconceived notions when you walk in and being like, okay, we're going to put them to a side and we're going to see what happens in that moment. And finally to you, Caitlin.
Hello. Oh, sorry, I sound like Phil Mitchell then. I don't know if that sounds like Phil Mitchell, more like a drone gurgling. I definitely think, like, maybe at the beginning of the process, because it is quite a different process in the sense of, like, I suppose especially being a writer, and then you have Mimi as well, who co-writes, and Freya, who definitely did a bit of writing, and everyone sort of has done, has put in ideas, or at least like writing into the script. So I think for me it's been a lot of the aspect of writing a show in real time whilst it's being like sort of made, and whilst things are being devised upon, and you know, as a writer you're there, like you're observing everything, you're trying to sort of channel 12 voices and like visions into a script, but then obviously that gets to be sort of taken away and then taken in by the actors and with the director and everything, and obviously with Maisie with the tech and all that. So it's truly a massively collaborative process. And I think it is quite different in the sense of like writing is quite a solitary thing as well. And like Maisie also, like I can be quite shy, and especially in theatre world, I don't know if it just comes across, but like you just think, wow, everyone just seems like really confident. Like, you know, you work in a theatre, you do theatre things, you must be really confident, or you perform, and it's like, no. So having to be able to, channel that confidence in yourself and in other, like, sort of in the project, and just being able to, like, see it through and be so devoted to it is definitely a strength I think we all have. So that's been really awesome. And, yeah, I think I'd just give myself the same advice that I probably did at the beginning and just, like, go with the flow.
Perfect. Listen, thank you so much, Shifri. We are going to take a break. We'll be right back. And we're back. So we're back with Bold Antics. We are going to talk a bit more about their upcoming production, which is called Shift. So Shift is the first production of Bottled Antics, and it has been created during your period with Theatre World Bloom's Lab Program. There we go.
Listen, I think they should rename it Laugh Program.
Laugh Program. Yeah.
Is there such a big thing?
If we release the footage from the break, then it's the Laugh Program. So TRP is a Lab Program. So I'll tell you what, Caitlin, as one of the writers for this, give us an introduction to the piece, as well as what the rehearsal process for doing this has been like.
Well, Shift is about, it's shift, as in shift in hospitality, and also just, like, shifts of different dimensions, I suppose. And I think the show in itself has just shifted quite a bit. So it's, like, it's become this sort of molded entity, so like the rehearsal processes have been quite, because obviously it's like writing in real time as well, it's been just like this constant sort of fusion of ideas, if that makes sense.
How did you guys settle on the subject of hospitality? Like, does someone have some experience in it, or is someone related to something? Like, how did you pick? Not how, more like why. What about hospitality kind of spoke to you all as a group, where you were all like, yes, this feels like A, the thing we should create, and B, the thing we should, like, debut ourselves with?
I think hospitality was something that we all, or pretty much all of us, had experience in, which is with a company of 12 when you first, like, who didn't really know each other beforehand. I think it was important to try and find something for our first production which has a bit of common ground, because 12 people is a lot for the space that we are putting it on in. So to find something which was really easily relatable, or something that we had all experienced in our lives, was really important. And hospitality is quite a fun thing. There isn't much that goes there aren't as in to do theatre about, not that hospitality is fun to work in sometimes, but because you don't really see, I don't really see much hospitality based theatre. I haven't ever seen a theatre play on hospitality before, so we just wanted to do something that wasn't like, that we hadn't really seen before, and something which was relatable, and hospitality was just fell into both categories, so yeah.
I think talking about hospitality is the next level of when you write a play about being an actor, because it's something that everybody has done at some point. We, like, you know, let's tell the facts, ladies and gentlemen. We all know for the day job that there's a good chance that an actor, performer, theatre maker, whatever, has worked in hospitality, retail, or any other form of customer service thing. So I want to kind of talk about that a little bit more. So in a previous episode, we'll put the link in the description, Greta and I have talked about the balance between the day job and your job as a performer. So, you know, seeing as a piece is set in a coffee shop, which, you know, as for mentioned, is the go-to day job for the performer. How do each of you balance your day jobs and life as a performer? And even more so, in the spirit of being a little shady, has any instances of your day job found its way into the script? So I will start with you, please, Joe.
So for me, it's been difficult this year to do day job. Well, I work at like a bar, so I work late, which is, so it's okay as long as I don't have rehearsals the next day, like, because I can go to rehearsals on a Friday and I can work in the evening, and like it sort of it works quite well together. But as for instances that can make it into the script, I think any devised piece which had been refined after a little bit, anything which was created through devising had come from personal experience in some way or another, because we wanted to make it real. We wanted to make our experiences real, but also we wanted to be mindful of not, like, say all of us have not had, say all of us, like, and quite a lot of the scenes that we had devised when viewing for hospitality in the best light, we didn't want to absolutely just slump it down, like, and just dig it a hole, you know what I mean? We had to make sure that we were respecting it a bit, because, well, we all do. We all do work in it, and we all put many hours of our life into it. So yeah.
In this industry, it's really hard to kind of get your foot in the door. And it's, I always feel like those jobs are kind of the only things keeping some people on that track to, like, fighting to get their place, like, on the other side of that door. Yeah, and I respect it, because it's like a lot of those places are like stepping stones. So, like, for young people to have work experience, like, a lot of places right now are like, oh, you need like 2 years experience to do something. Whereas like hospitality, it's always like, yeah, train you on the job and stuff. But yeah, so I do respect it in the sense that it's helping a lot of people kind of get to where they want to be, and like being the interim between like them now and where they want to be. But also sometimes it's real bad. It's real bad to work there. Yeah, and we had those moments of fun from working in a hospitality setting. So like the people you get to know, the silly games you play to pass the time, and like all the like kind of whispered jokes and gossip between the other workers to like hide behind the managers and the goody-goodies and stuff like that. But a thing we really wanted to stray away from was like hospitality bad, don't like. We wanted to make something that felt universal without feeling like, oh, we just hate our jobs, because we wanted it to be more interesting than that, because life as a hospitality worker and a theatre maker is more interesting than that. And yeah, I can't think of anything else, but yeah.
No, I do get what you mean, though. It's important to find the balance between making a piece of theatre as like a form of entertainment, and making something which is in essence you preaching about your day job problems to people.
Yeah,
like who want to hear about that? It's good that you're finding that, it's good that you're finding that balance between taking, to my understanding, the lighter aspects of the hospitality industry and making it into a fun piece of entertainment for people to view.
Yeah, basically echoing what Joe and Mirdy was saying, really. So obviously you just really want to, like, because being in hospitality speaks to a lot of people, but also it's that balance between, yeah, sometimes it can be quite hard, and other times you can create these like bonds because you're with these people every day, and you do get like the different roles and the different characters, which I found was super interesting. But yeah, like, it's to be able to maybe have like a voice in sort of relating to the fact of like hospitality can be quite a magical place sometimes in the world of theatre, I think, as well. And if we can sort of have the audience sort of watch our show and then come away with it with sort of like a different viewpoint, maybe on hospitality or just on the characters or just the things that happen, if they can take it home and sort of have a think and just see what it means to them, I think creating that impression is so beautiful to be able to share.
Okay, so this next question is a kind of a bit more for Caitlin, since she is a bit more on the writing side, but obviously Macy and Joe, if you want to step in, go ahead. So, Caitlin, you have kind of touched a bit upon that you devise on the space and you're writing the script as they devise. Can you kind of, like, explain that a bit to me? Like, are you devising with them and then you go away and kind of, like, take notes as you go along and structure it and try to make sense of it in your head with your co-writer? That's also another, like, whole other book we can open, the co-writing book. But let's leave that a bit closed for now. Let's talk about the devise and writing at the same time. Do you devise with them, or are you more of on the sidelines and you're kind of bringing the structure?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mixture, to be fair. Because sort of, as I say, like, I think for a writer, it's definitely quite a solitary thing. So, like, being in, like, a big group and trying to sort of accommodate loads of voices and, like, what like the visions are, and trying to put that into words as well and listen and to be able to, yeah, just sort of see that through. It's sort of just been like, I almost see it as like a patchwork quilt. So like everyone's experiences and ideas and like seeing ideas have come up with, like, me and Mimi and also Freya have just sort of jigsaw puzzled it together in places where we can get all these ideas, tie a narrative around it, and hopefully have it make sense, which is definitely something, that is super important. Because in my brain, it's like, if we don't understand what we're creating, then how do we get the audience to understand? And like, that has been quite tricky, but also at the same time, like, such a valuable experience to work with so many like awesome people with awesome ideas and like different ideas, and to have questions and to be able to adapt and develop from that.
How did you kind of come up with the overall voice of the piece? Because obviously every single person has a unique voice, but when it comes to theatre and when it comes to bringing it to the audience, you have to have a unified a kind of way to present it, like when it comes to the style, when it comes to the structure, when it comes to certain like conventions throughout the piece. How did you go about kind of like negotiating that, not only with your other two writers, but with everyone else in the group? Because obviously you have this really difficult job of grabbing the, trying to encapsulate the energy and the antics. Essentially, you're trying to bottle the antics that everyone's doing in the theatre space. And that sounds like quite a hard job to do.
Yeah, it's been quite challenging, but also, again, super valuable, because first of all, it's sort of being aware of the script and the story and first understanding it and the sort of the genre that it is in, because it is a horror comedy, so making sure that we take elements from there, use it, experiment with it, but also keeping true to the 12 voices in the room who have the visions. And the way basically that we do that is, like I say, like, yeah, just like a jigsaw puzzle. So if someone goes, oh, actually, I think my character would like to do this, it's like, okay, make a note of that, see if we can incorporate into the script. I think the biggest thing with me has been keeping the structure, the story and the characters, and all sort of like working together to create this universe that is believable, so you don't sort of like jolt quickly out of it. And it's quite good, because at the same time, we do all have quite similar visions that do cross over. Sometimes they are different. That's just, you know, collaborating with other people, and that's absolutely fine. But it's sort of like, I don't know, like, if the ideas were like cats and we were like trying to herd the cats. Is it cats? Isn't she? It's sheep, but I've heard cats before.
Sheep. Hannah, that makes sense. It also sounds like you've come up with the characters during devising. So it sounds like rather than, because you know when you traditionally write, you kind of come up with the characters' profile and who they are and figure out their like intention. But with Shift, it sounds like the characters came first and you can actually ask the character, like, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go with this? So it also makes your life easier in a certain way because you don't have to be this all-knowing, omnipotent figure. It's a very unique take on writing.
Yeah, it's been really awesome to have that because there's been moments like which I've never had before, which has been so fantastic. Like, for example, when the actors do get in the space and they've got the script and they get so like into character, and then like it's almost like they get possessed and then they like start speaking like the character, and I'm like, wow, like those exactly are the lines that this character would say, and because they're so in it, and it's like this massive sort of feeding flow tube. I don't know what that is, but if that makes sense, of just like giving and taking, and I don't know, like just a constant fusion of just feeding back of putting the words out there, and then the words sort of being inspired and then coming back and then creating more. So we just build on each other's ideas, really.
We are at the point, at the time of recording, where you're going into your tech/stress week in the week to come. But when you listen to the episode, the show will be next week. So I want to ask each of you, as you reach the end of this programme, do you have any further plans as a company, or do you intend to see what other direction you can take the piece at all?
It's quite hard as a company because some of us are heading off to uni, other people are kind of working on their own kind of stuff. But I think definitely if it is that we do find the chance and everyone is able, touring the show was definitely a possibility that people were thinking of once it's completed its run with Theatre Royal. And a lot of us are like writers on the side, or like they devise or anything. And we've always said that if any of us have like a performance thing coming up, they'd let everyone else know, and it would be kind of like Bottled Antics light, like the diet version with only some of us. I know a couple of us have gone for Ideas Lab, which is coming up soon. I think it's definitely, as a company, we definitely want to continue working together. Even if it's not all of us or not this show, we want to continue working as a team.
Yeah, to add to that, I think it's a matter more about availability from now on, because as Maisie said, everyone's going a different path. For example, I'm going off next year. I'm leaving Plymouth for a couple of years to go and study drama a bit more. So it's like, but if I'm down and like people are making a really quick something really quickly, I'll be offer hands, and like it's just about who's what and who's where and whether they're about. I think that's the main thing. So I think it's a conversation which like we've had in mini parts, but we haven't like fully had yet. So it's a bit of a, I think right now it's just full steam ahead on the production in a couple of weeks. And then I think after that, we'll discuss it a bit further and a bit more in depth. But yeah.
So what's the next stage for kind of like Bottled Antics and Shift? This is a bit of a big question and we've already kind of talked about it. But you've said that you want the next stage for Shift to be touring. What's kind of like, do you guys have specific, I'm going to ask you more on a personal level, because as a group, we've kind of talked that you haven't really discussed it yet. And I understand because you're soon in Tech Week. But on a personal level, where do you guys see kind of Bottled Antics and Shift going? I'm going to ask Joe first and then tell me, Caitlin.
For me, Bottled is because I'm going away to London in this year, it's difficult for me because obviously I like to sit around and keep creating work, but that's obviously not possible given what I'm off to do. I think for me, the next step for Bottled Antics is being able to offer hands as much as I can and help out. Give them a pair of eyes if they need that, or give them, like, if they want someone to watch their productions, then, like, I can come and I can give feedback and, like, help them with some sort of... I'll just try and give hands at any point in the process, which I can. Or if, say, over, like, a term break, like, over a holiday, they're doing a quick, like, two-week snippet and they need someone to read, like, I'll hop in and I'll do that. Like, I'm really keen to keep working with the people that I formed this company with, because I think it's a really nice cohort, and it's a cohort which create work quite similarly and create good work quite similarly. And I think that it's really important to have and keep these connections, but albeit for me it will be partial for a little bit, because it's just how timetables and the world's working for me at the moment. So yeah,
that makes sense. Where do you see it going, Caitlin? As in, where do you want it to go?
I definitely, like, I can sort of, we're all still, like, we are such a bunch of grips, you know, and it's so lovely that we're all on this branch together, you know, and it's, I hope that, you know, that branch does continue in whatever form, and that you know, once all the lifey stuff we can, like, definitely take it on and continue with it, and yeah, like, it's just been such a fantastic process that it would be absolutely amazing to just see it grow.
Yeah, that's amazing. I completely understand. Guys, the time has come for you guys to promote your socials. Tell us the days and times of your show and where you can get tickets, so everyone can come watch Shift and come scream and moo at you from the audience.
Yeah, I think we'd like a bit of mooing from the audience. I think that'd be an appropriate response. Yeah.
Okay. Here's the thing: if anyone comes to the show and they've heard this podcast, this episode, they have to come up to one of you guys and just moo.
Moo in my ear, like, whisper it, and then like, I think it will send shivers down my spine, like. But then I'll know. Oh no, for sure.
Let us know where we can find us. What's your, like, Instagram, Facebook, all these good things?
So as for our social handles, we are Bottled Antics on Instagram, just the full word. Also Bottled Antics on Facebook. Should be pretty easy to find us. We have our photos, like, logo is of a bottle with antics inside it, so it's pretty self-explanatory. As for the show dates, it's the 13th to the 16th of July, and it's in the Lab at the Theatre Royal Plymouth. You can book tickets on the Theatre Royal Plymouth website, and yeah, book your tickets now.
Yeah, and it's really accessible as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's been a really key thing that we wanted to. So there's, like, with disabilities and stuff, we've got, like, a quiet area just in case, like, people just need a bit of time out, or, like, just try to make, like, as many accommodations as we possibly can as well.
Listen, we're going to have the link where you can buy tickets, and obviously the link to all of their gorgeous socials in the description box down below. So please go ahead, check them out, book your tickets, check out Shift, and if you go, moo very softly in Joe's ear. It's been great having you guys. Thank you so much for coming on. Good luck for Tech Week and good luck for your show. And really, really, like, a huge job well done on this whole, on the whole way you're approaching this thing.
Thank you. It's been awesome.
And thank you for having us on here and for the opportunity. And yeah.
Of course.
We shall see. Amazing.
Cool. Thank you very much. And that was Joe, Maisie and Caitlin of Bottled Antics Theatre Company. You can find their show, Shift, at the Lab at Theatre Royal Plymouth from the 13th to the 16th of July. Tickets are available in our description. Yeah, once again, keep an eye out for this exciting new company. And as ever, it's so, so important to support early career artists as they make their way into the theatre industry. But for now, Greta and I will see you at the next stage.
Ciao.
Ciao.